You're listening to Crazy Shit in Real Estate. You'll be amazed at all these wild but true situations that others have found themselves in. Because on this show, you'll hear uncensored, unbelievable stories from the world of real estate. I'm Lee Brown. Let's dive right in.
I'm Lee Brown. This is Crazy Shit in Real Estate. And today I'm bringing to you a seasoned conversation from the Rock and Roll Realtor. And if you want to know what that means, check out this conversation with Gary Rossignol. I hope you enjoy it, and I'll see you on the other side. Hey, Gary.
Good morning.
I'm so excited to have you on the show. I almost got my guitar out, but I don't know how to play. Hold it, since you're the Rock and Roll Realtor.
Well, I just want to tell you, I'm so thrilled and honored to be on your podcast, Crazy Shit in Real Estate. I saw it several months ago. I saw the interview you had with Tracy Dupler on overcoming obstacles in the early stages of real estate. And I watched that, and it was great information for a three-year realtor to do what she has done. I know it's amazing. And I thought, what about some of the older realtors who overcome obstacles?
Seasoned realtors.
But, right, exactly. We're very seasoned. So I emailed and got a response right away. I thought, oh, wow, this is great. I'm going to be on her show.
Well, nothing makes me happier than when realtors want to make each other better. And in fact, what was unique about Tracy is you and I both know, as the seasoned realtors in the room, there's not many that are early stage that are willing to just be vulnerable and transparent and share. And the older we get, the more we realize it's not exactly rocket science, but we are absolutely capable of being helpful. So I'm so glad you said yes to being on the show. And tell my audience a little bit about where you're located and how many years it takes to become seasoned. And tell them a little bit about Gary.
Well, how many years it takes to be seasoned, that's pretty objective. Depends on what you consider seasoned, but I got licensed back in 1986. So do the math. It's 37 years.
That's a really good music year. We had good records in 86.
We did. Yeah. And I got into real estate. I played music through high school and right after I got married for a while and then decided to go into the family business. I did that for a while. And then back in 1999, I didn't play music for like 30 years. And I got that infamous phone call from Bob Myers from high school, and he says, we're putting the old band back together. Now, I related that to the movie The Blues Brothers, which I love the movie. And once a year, that little fleeting thought went through my head, you know, nah, it'll never happen. Well, it happened. And we got together to play our 30-year high school class reunion.
Fun.
And so me and one of the other guys, we kept the band going all this time. Now we're 23 years later, still playing. And the way I became the Rock and Roll Realtor, I went to a networking group called H7. And sitting across from me was an insurance guy, and he called himself the musical insurance guy. And I said, that's pretty cool. His name's Gary, too. And I says, how'd you come up with that? He says, well, my family plays music. I tune pianos. He said, just a handle that I came up with. He says, it's done me pretty well. He says, well, you're the Rock and Roll Realtor.
And it's done.
Voila. There it was. I went, hey, that's kind of corny, but I was told a long time ago, if you want to make a difference in this business, watch the way the crowd is going and go the opposite way. And it usually works and you're going to stand out. So I went on a for sale by owner call the other day, and the guy came out his front porch. He says, the Rock and Roll Realtor. People know that, so that's kind of cool.
And it rhymes with your last name a little bit, since it's Rossignol, so that...
Yeah, you say it right, the French way, yeah.
Well, that Madame Moulinax, all those years ago, if she's listening to my podcast, which is highly unlikely, she'll be very proud.
Well, I got a lot out of that, and I watched several other of your podcasts, and I'm so nervous being on your podcast, and every Saturday I do my own radio show. I'm never this nervous to do that when I'm on your side.
Tell me how you got the radio show going. Was it an accidental encounter, or is it a paid show, or is it a little bit of both? Because frankly, Gary, I have been trying to get a radio show here in Charlotte forever, but one of my dear friends and competitors keeps it on lockdown, and he won't let me have it. So tell me how you got yours.
Many, many years ago, back in 1992, I was invited to be a guest on a local radio station. They did a show every Wednesday, and he had me on regularly. So then I started my own show on that station on Sunday mornings. And my idea of doing a radio show is telling the truth, you know, helping people, teaching them things, letting them know what's really going on. So one of my big competitors in town didn't like what I was preaching because buyer agency was just coming into vogue at the time. And I was one of the first buyer agents in Cincinnati. And they didn't like what I was saying on the radio. So they came in. Now, I work on a budget and I work on a billing system with my sponsors. And the billing system was every 30 or 60 days they'd get paid. Well, they came in, put cash on the table and bought the hour behind my hour. And they sat there, two or three guys would sit there and say, oh, we got a new listing over on Oak Street. It's a three bed. They do that for an hour. And it's like, boring.
Dreadful.
So I went in one day, no producer, no bumper music. They canceled my show. The following week, that show was gone. They bought that hour just to get me off the radio. So it was nasty for a while. And so years went by and finally this radio station I'm on right now, they asked me about advertising on their show. And I says, have you ever thought about doing a talk show? And they said, well, yeah, we'd love to have it. You want to do a talk show? I said, yeah. So I told them my story and they promised me they would never, ever let another real estate company do a show on their station. It's kind of a family station. And it's the oldest rock and roll station here in Cincinnati, which most of the music they play on that station, my band plays. So it's 13 years now. And now I have mortgage lenders on, attorneys. Tomorrow I have Phil Crawford, who's the voice of appraisal, which is interesting because your last two podcasts were about appraisals. And Phil is very flamboyant. He says, Gary, just bring me on, introduce me, and say, Phil, what's going on? And he says, and I'll fill the hour. And he's all for not allowing the non-licensed, non-regulated, no experienced education folks come in and do the data collection.
He said, Phil is on my side on this because
oh, yeah.
Consumer protection. Let's go, Phil.
Yeah, Phil loves you.
So. He doesn't love me, and because we forget this sometimes that in this business, we're totally experts in our local market, but we have to have our wings out to protect our cohorts in the business. Like our consumers need great appraisers. They need great lenders like your sponsors for your show. They need great relationships like the insurance agent, your rock and roll insurance guy. We need to have our eyes on everything. And I think a lot of agents just get so laser beam focused on, I need one more listing, I need one more buyer. They're not paying attention. And the changes that are afoot are going to be ground shaking for the end consumer. And I'm not okay with the end consumer getting boxed out. But I got to ask you a question, since you were right there at the beginning of buyer agency in the 90s, when it was a wild and crazy idea. And now, of course, it's become fairly ubiquitous, except in states like Florida, which are transaction-based, and South Carolina's added transaction brokers. But where you and I are, we can work as a buyer's representative. You can work as a seller's representative. And of course, the Department of Justice would like to see buyer agency go away. There's a lot of very negative talk about the work that we do for buyers. So I'm curious, since you've been in the business long enough to see it go from no buyer's agency, and everybody says we should have it, and now we have it, and the people who said we should create it 35 years ago want it to go away. What is your defense of buyer agency with the consumer public that you serve?
Well, with my exclusive buyer agency agreement, it sets up the perimeters of what I'm going to do for my client, and also what they're going to do for me. It's all about trust and knowledge and what I'm going to give to them. So there's probably a handful of realtors in town who will use an exclusive buyer agency contract. Even today, they still say, how do you do that? Says, well, how many listings do you take a year? Do you ever take a listing without an exclusive right to sell agreement?
No, never.
Heavens no. And then you get into, and you didn't bring it up yet, Lee, but dual agency. Boo.
You know how I feel about that, right?
Boo. No way.
Outlaw it across the country. It is a direct conflict of interest.
But what did you say the other day? You said it's a direct conflict of interest. That's my viewpoint. No more discussion.
And I also said that I want to pull a Barney Fife. Remember in the old Andy Griffith show when Barney would do citizens arrest, citizens arrest. I want to pull licenses and I want to do a citizens arrest because the Bible says you can't serve two masters.
It's no, exactly. Simple.
And the consumer could choose one agent for both sides, but let's be honest, you're not operating as a fiduciary in that capacity. You're a mediator. And you can be a mediator where you say you represent neither side, but a dual agent by definition says you represent both sides, and that's just not possible.
When you're trying to be a dual agent, you're taking the easy way out. Now listen, realtors, listen to us, because Lee and I know the truth. Who are you really representing if you're a dual agent? Yourself.
Yep.
That's it. And why would a realtor want to be a dual agent anyway?
I don't need the headaches myself. I don't want my integrity question.
All about the money.
Hey, Gary, what's your integrity worth?
What's my integrity worth?
Right.
It's worthless. My integrity is everything.
It is, because you can't get it back once you lose it.
When I go on an appointment for sale by owner appointment, they may think I'm there for them to interview and hire me, but I'm there deciding, do I want this listing? And I went on one Monday and I went, no, I really don't want this listing. He had a two family and the second floor bathroom wasn't operable. I mean, the vanity wasn't hooked up, the toilet, the flipper thing didn't work. He says, oh, he says, I'm selling it as is. He says, for $25, you can go to the hardware store. I says, well, then, Bill, why don't you just go to the hardware store, spend $50 and fix it? Right now, you have to advertise this as an inoperable bathroom. Who's going to look at a house with an inoperable bathroom? He says, well, yeah, you may be right. They need us so much. Oh, my gosh.
Well, when you think about it, a seller like that who isn't willing to do a small repair, because we all know a small repair tends to lead to a bigger repair. In the back of his mind, he's kind of hoping he won't have to tell anybody. But a professional realtor is always going to be disclosing these issues. That's a material fact. The state law requires us to. It doesn't require the seller to, but we are bound by a higher standard. And so when we bring a buyer in that house, that's where you really need your agent to be your second set of eyes and make sure the seller's not trying to pull a fast one, and neither is their agent should they have one. And I worry about the best needs of the consumer being served if there's a continued attack on buyer agency. Because, I mean, think about the COVID market and all the offers we wrote and all the multiple offer scenarios.
Weaving inspections. I tell my sellers, Mr. and Mrs. Seller, I think it's in your best interest that the buyer does a thorough professional inspection for your own liability's sake.
Absolutely.
Then when you go to the closing, you hand them the keys and they sign the note and the mortgage and you walk out of the room, you're not going to be faced with any kind of a lawsuit. I had Adam Kroc with Area-Wide Home Inspections on my show a couple months ago, and he told me a story. He did a post-closing inspection for a buyer. They had to waive inspections to get the deal. Well, when he shows up, it was like the hottest day in June last year. He said there was no air conditioning. The air conditioner was 23 years old and it wasn't working. Oh. It had R22 Freon in it. Not only that, but the roof was shot and the sewer line was backing up. Now, don't tell me that seller didn't know the air conditioner didn't work. Don't tell me that seller didn't know that the sewer was backing up. Did they disclose it? No, they didn't. Could that buyer hire an attorney and go after that seller? Absolutely. But they are told by their agent, well, it's an as-is. You bought it as-is. You waived your inspections. That doesn't mean anything.
Well, the thing, too, is in Ohio, probably like North Carolina, you have to prove that the seller knew about it. The air conditioner, you know, depending on what time of year it is, they could arguably say, we didn't know. But with the sewer not working, if you're living in the house, you know. If that's
give me a break. Yeah, give me a break on that one.
Honor. So honor has always been a part of real estate because it has to be, since the person who lives in the house experiences it in a very holistic way. When you're looking at the house to make an offer, you're not there very long. You're not using all the outlets and the switches and the toilets, and you're not there for four seasons. And so you really are kind of buying a pig and a poke, and you have to wish that more sellers would tell as much as possible instead of the default of the bare minimum. them and that agents would push for a little bit more information so they could make buyers comfortable. Because whether it's multiple offers or not, I want my community to have good people living in good houses. And you're the same way. We want to take care of that new neighbor because they're going to be there a lot longer than the agent holding the house.
I think it's a smart move for sellers to have their home inspected before it goes on the market.
Well, you can fix things in advance. And then if your flapper is messed up, you just go ahead and go down to Lowe's and Home Depot and fix it.
Right, exactly.
If you are remotely awake, then you know that we are heading into some really tricky economic times. We have home buyers that have put the kibosh on buying. We have sellers who have found out suddenly their houses aren't dipped in 14 karat gold. And as a realtor, you are still trying to keep up with the business you have and trying to answer questions in the meantime while also managing sky-high fuel costs at the pump. Never fear, because my new video course is coming out right now, and it's called How to Dominate During a Recession. I've been a realtor for 22 years. My business went up every year during the Great Recession, and it's all because of education. This course is 4 modules. There might even be some bonus content for you. The price is $199. I am delighted to bring this out as quickly as possible because, friends, there's no time like the present to make sure our neighbors are stronger and we protect the American dream. Click on this link, www.dominatethisrecession.com, and I'll see you there. Now, back to this amazing content.
But I heard about a year or two ago, there's only 3 absolutes in life. Number one is we're all going to die.
Yes.
Number two is your taxes always go up. And number 3 is everything changes.
It's true.
Now, being a baby boomer, being a senior citizen, and being in the business so long, I don't like change, but I have to change. I have to learn to change with the times. For you new agents who have been around for, 3, 5, 10 years, think back when I got licensed in 86. We didn't have the internet. We didn't have cell phones. You know what a Dropbox was? It was a little slit in the door of the listing office where you prepared your 2-page purchase contract, you folded it up, you put it in an envelope, you drove to their office at 11 o'clock at night, you put it in their Dropbox, and the next day they would call the seller, and then they would make an appointment, they'd sit down, go over the offer with them, and within a day or two, they'd bring you an answer back. It would take 3 to 7 days just to negotiate one contract. Now, 3 or 7 hours is a long time.
Right. It's the, right, that condensation of time. And also, we've lost in that time frame. I didn't get in the 80s, but my dad was in the business. And so as a teenager, I was with him. But when I got in, I got licensed in 98, you were still delivering contracts. And we were face to face with the other side then. I will tell you, I think our real estate transactions were a lot smoother when we saw the other agent, handed them the paperwork, talked about what was going on, then now in this era of speedy text where everything gets misunderstood. What do you think?
Well, I remember the days when I would deliver the contract. I'd have my buyer in my vehicle. I'd let the listing agent know, we're going to be sitting across the street. So if you have any changes you want to talk about, just come out, knock on the window, let me know. We'll get it wrapped up tonight.
That's a pretty efficient way to do it, except maybe just us in the car without our clients.
Even though I represent the buyer and you may represent the seller, but guess what? We're on the same team. We're going for the same purpose because the buyer wants to buy the house. The seller wants to sell the house. We're not really adversaries. We're really working as a team to get the job done for the fulfillment of what their desires are. A lot of realtors lose sight of that. And you get them on the phone, if you can get them on the phone today. A lot of them, they want to text. They don't want to talk on the phone. But if you get them on the phone, they're very defensive. And when you put that wall up, it's like, wait a minute, folks, time out. We're on the same team here. We're just trying to get this transaction together. My buyer wants to buy it. Your seller wants to sell it. Let's do what we can to get that to work.
I love how you mentioned making real estate less adversarial between the two parties. What would you say is your best technique for getting an adversarial agent or situation defused? Do you have any Gary tricks for us on that?
Well, let it cool off for a couple of days. Send them a little handwritten note. I had an incident last week with an agent, and it didn't go real well. He was a little belligerent on the phone, so I let it cool off for a couple of days. I went and bought one of those little power banks, and I sent that to him with a little handwritten note that said, sometimes we have a bad day. You and I had a bad moment. I just want to apologize for my part in the situation. And I religiously use my power bank. I wanted to give you this little gift as a token of my generosity to help smooth things over and to help power your future business.
His response to that?
I haven't heard anything.
You haven't heard anything yet?
No.
Well, if you sent it to his office, he may not have gone in there. So I'm sure you'll get a nice thank you back or a phone call or a text.
I hope so. But when something lays heavy on your head for more than an hour or two, you got to step up to the plate and you got to take care of it.
I love that. Okay, that's life advice, y'all, especially if you are somebody who finds yourself in tense situations a lot. Use the Gary advice. If it's weighing on you for more than an hour, take some kind of action. And even if they don't respond, you did. So I love that.
Did whatever I could.
That's your bad advice for the day. Okay, so Gary, you've been in the business more than a minute. You know, on my show, on some of those episodes, we got some really good stories. I know my listeners and viewers want to know, what in the world has the rock and roll realtor encountered in these 37 years of real estate?
Oh my gosh, we don't have enough time. Well, one thing, when I first got licensed, my first broker, Olga Hawkins, I was preparing to go on my very first appointment. This is the best advice I ever got. She says, Gary, she says, they're going to ask you how long you've been in the business. She says, just say, oh, it seems like forever. And you know what? I'm on that very first appointment and I'm going through my flip chart and everything and doing everything I could as a newbie and stumbling and whatnot. But they asked me, says, well, how long have you been in the business? I said, oh, it seems like forever. And they never asked another question. I got the listing. We sold it. And now that it's 37 years, some people say, man, he's an old fogey. And they ask me, how long have you been in the business? I use the same line. Oh, it seems like forever.
So funny that she knew what to say right before you walked in, because it did happen.
Yeah, it did. But that's a real good one. Well, I have my allies that I lean on, my mortgage guru guys, my home inspector guys. Well, doing a radio show, you know, I have to be really well up on my topic. So that's kind of a selfish reason I do the radio show, because I have different guests on all the time. Actually, they're sponsors. They pay for advertising. So I get so many minutes of spots a week. I sell them half of it for the cost that it costs me. So I get half the commercials. They get their commercials. They're happy. I refer them business and it works out. But I have to be on top of my game and I have to know the topic to be able to host a show like that. And that makes me sort of the authority. And when I started the show, the purpose of the show was, number one, to have fun, to enjoy the music I like, and to bring compelling, thought-provoking discussions that the listening audience will enjoy. And so every week I do a little music trivia and I give away two $10 gift cards to Starbucks. And it's a simple little rock and roll music thing, and they have to call in with the right answer. Now, my producer gets their name, their phone number, their address, and I call them in a couple of days just to verify their address. Oh, and by the way, Sally, thanks for calling in on the show. I really appreciate that. What part of the show did you like best? Well, I really, really like your music history, or I really, really like your guests that you have on. I get some great tips and blah, blah, blah. And says, so this house at 123 Main Street, do you own that house? Well, yeah. Have you thought about moving? Ah, I get two or three bits of business a year just by asking that question. But another thing that I really, really firmly believe in is in giving back. The last segment of my radio show I dedicate to a nonprofit organization called the Dragonfly Foundation. And the Dragonfly Foundation, they support pediatric cancer patients who have cancer and blood diseases.
Oh.
They don't do any medical research. Mm-hmm. What they do is they give comfort and joy and smiles on their faces by distracting them from their disease.
Love it.
I had a client once years ago. Their son had to have some major surgery and insurance only covered like half of it. And so mom and dad are bickering about money. They couldn't make their mortgage payments. They're losing their house. The child says it's my fault. And the siblings, his brothers and sisters, feel left out because all the attention's going to the one that's sick. They end up getting a divorce. It was nasty. So the Dragonfly Foundation, they step in as soon as they get checked into the hospital, and it's all volunteers, and they're there. They said, we've been there, we've done that. We know exactly where you're at. And they have, through the donations, they take them to ball games, to concerts, to shows. They have events going on year round, and they involve mom and dad's night out. They have the landing where the kids can stay there for the evening, let mom and dad go out for dinner. The brothers and sisters are dragonflies, and it's an unbelievable organization. So I give my last 15 minutes of the show to the Dragonfly Foundation. They have somebody that comes on, and we talk about the Dragonfly Foundation. So
wonderful way to really be not just giving back, but amplifying the message that somebody in your audience probably needs to hear so they can take it forward and bring somebody else some comfort at a rough time.
Yeah. Now, every couple of years, somebody comes in my life and is my hero. You're my hero this year because I've been to 3 of your live events. I've been on your podcasts and your webinars, and you really make an impression on me because of your beliefs in the realtor industry. And this was about 10 years ago. I was with another company. I've been with RE/MAX for over 25 years. But I left RE/MAX for a while to try something else out. I was with another company, and we have what's called the Circle of Excellence at the Cincinnati Area Board of Realtors, which I make every year. And back then, the broker had to get your ticket to go to the Circle of Excellence Awards Banquet. Well, my broker, there was only a couple of us that belonged to the Cincinnati Area Board of Realtors. The rest of the brokerage went to another board of realtors, which is kind of funny because now we've all joined together last year to one big board. But back then, my manager, I kept calling him. I says, did you get my ticket? They says, well, no. And their answer to me was, have you thought about changing boards of realtors? I said, changing boards of realtors? I'd rather change brokers. And my wife heard me, and she went, and I hung up. She said, did you hear what you just said? I said, yeah. So my next phone call was my coach. I called Tim, and I says, Tim, I says, here's how the conversation went. He says, Gary, we're having lunch today. Meet me at 12:30. And he told me at lunch, he says, you've already made up your decision.
Exactly. You said it out loud.
He said, so this is Tuesday. You've got till Friday to make 3 appointments with 3 other brokers. He says, by Tuesday next week, you make a decision. So my hero that year was Chris Beersford, who's the owner of RE/MAX Referred Group. It was going to be a 15-minute interview, right? It was an hour and a half. Yes. And I fell in love with her, and her husband, Miles, had my paperwork already done, and he jumped in his car and headed for Columbus and switched me over that day.
Really? That's a high level of customer service right there.
And that's how important the realtor industry is. And my family is the Cincinnati Area Board of Realtors, which is now called the Realtor Alliance of Greater Cincinnati because we joined boards of realtors to help facilitate education and the code of ethics. And we had more committees at the Cincinnati Area Board of Realtors than the other board. But that's how serious this industry is to me in order to help, like you call them, our neighbors who needs our help. We got to keep that focus.
And we help them through real estate and by introducing them to the Dragonfly and by bringing them music trivia sometimes. Gary, right. Thank you so much for giving us all these little tidbits from all over the place. I have enjoyed this conversation. If somebody wants to find a great Cincinnati realtor who happens to know rock and roll and they really want to talk to you, how can they find you?
They can call me at 513-543-2513, or you can just look me up on the internet. I am rockandrollgary.realtor.
I love that domain. That's fantastic. And for all of y'all who weren't writing anything down and now you wish you had, don't worry. All of Gary's contact information is in the show notes for this episode, so you have a chance to connect. Make sure that you drop a comment down here below, say something nice about Gary, or you should probably make a direct ask to be on his radio show. You don't know if he'll say yes. And then in the meantime, hit the bell and subscribe so you can come back and see who I talk to next, because you never know. But Gary, I'm so glad for what you've brought to your community and what you brought to the show today. Thank you for coming.
Thank you, Lee, and thanks for being my hero.
Oh, you know what? I'm honored to be a part of your journey any way that it counts.
Appreciate it. All right.
Guys. We'll see you next time.
As always, I'm so super thrilled that you joined in for more crazy shit. And if you're a realtor, investor, inspector, lender, or just a regular human being who happens to have an unbelievable story that you need to tell the world about, or frankly, you just need to one-up the story you just heard, then make sure to DM me on Instagram at Lee Thomas Brown, or tweet me at Lee Brown, or frankly, any social network where you hang out. I'm there. And if you had some fun, then you totally won't just subscribe so you don't miss out on any future episodes.